Okay, so Perek Tet, Elisha, you know, as he did last time with Hazael, right? You know, you have this oddity that Hashem had commanded Elisha to appoint. Hashem had commanded Eliyahu to appoint Elisha as Navi, Hazael as king of Aram, and Yehu as king over Yisrael to root out the evil of Ahav and Ahav's kingdom. But Eliyahu actually doesn't do either of the latter two. He only appoints Elisha, and Elisha takes over the other two roles as part of the, you know, the heir to Eliyahu's throne, as it were. So last week we saw how he appointed Hazael, but now he appoints Yehu. But it's very, very strange. Because Hazael, he actually appoints himself. But he doesn't appoint Yehu by himself. Instead, Perek Tet opens, Ve'elisha ha-navi kara, v'achad mimnei ha-navim, v'yomer lo, chagor matnecha, v'kach pach ha-shemen hazeh biyodecha, v'leich ramot gil'ad. So Elisha calls one of the anonymous Bnei HaNeviim, and he says to him, you know, gird your loins, take this oil, and go to Ramot HaGilad. Uvata sham ra'e sham Yehu ben Yoshafat ben Nimshi, uvata v'akimoto mitoch echav, v'vitoto cheder bechader. And there you'll find Yehu ben Yoshafat ben Nimshi, and you'll take him into a private room. And then you'll take the oil, you'll anoint him, and then close the door and get out of there as fast as you can. So, right off the bat, this is a very strange. It's a very strange thing for Elisha to do. You know, why, right, why would it be that he doesn't want to appoint Yehu by himself? You know, he, of all people, he's going to appoint this, you know, this anonymous Navi to do his work for him. As the Mefarshim raised different answers, some point out that it might just have been practical and political, namely that he, if he had gone, it would be very hard. Right? It's clear that he wants this to be secret because he's afraid of what's going to happen. But it's clear that if he went, right, Elisha was very well known as a Navi. If he shows up, it's not going to be able to be a private affair, right? As it is, it's going to be hard enough to take Yehu aside with no one seeing him and get him into a room. And it's going to be even harder if Elisha shows up. And this is similar to what we find by Shmuel with David, that when Shmuel was sent by Hashem to appoint David, he was very worried about it. Hashem tells him, look, take a karban with you, you know, pretend that you're going to bring a karban. If anyone asks any questions, you'll have an excuse. And here, right, there is no, you know, the very fact that he's going would be quite public. So, you know, we see in general that they try to avoid confrontations as much as possible. So that's. That's one possibility that's raised in the Mefarshim. Rav Samet is very fond of this notion that the reason he doesn't go is because the first one that I said is was the Abarbanel, right? The Abarbanel was the one who said, "Look, this was just practical, that he was afraid, and this anonymous Navi could get there in a way that that he couldn't." Rav Samet is much more of the opinion that this wasn't just, it wasn't just practical, he wasn't just afraid, but as we've seen, he had a decent relationship, as things go, with Yoram, the son of Ahav. He knows that this is what the Alshech says, right? The Alshech says, let me see if I can get the quote. Yeah, so the Alshech says that, you know, he had a relationship with him. He had, you know, the king had come to him to Davin that he would save them. They had a working relationship, and just, it's, you know, it's like what Rashi says by the reason Moshe doesn't hit the Yarden. Instead, he sends Aaron, because, like, he owed it to the water, so to speak. And Rav Samet sort of develops these ideas. Though he develops a version of the Alshech, claiming that it's also just, you know, it's just not in him to really, you know, bring about the destruction of Klal Yisrael through, right, the destruction of the Malchut Yisrael through Yoram. And he notes that just like Shmuel had a difficult time appointing David because he really liked Shaul, and therefore he couldn't really identify with the mission of appointing a new king, so Elisha has a bit of a difficulty appointing a king who's going to kill Yoram, who he had a relationship with. He also is a gentle personality, and to appoint a Jew to bring about an internal rebellion, to murder, even Bidvar Hashem, but still to murder the house of Ahav, that's even harder than appointing Hazael. Right? Hazael, okay, like, you know, Hazael didn't need Elisha's permission to fight the Jewish people. And he can go and at least try to attenuate the viciousness of the attack. But to bring about a civil war is not really something that that Elisha is wants to do. But whatever it is, he... What was that?
It was the vineyard that killed his neighbor because he wanted the vineyard.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why Ahav has to be killed, right? Ahav's house has to be killed, but
without Elisha, it's going to happen because Hashem told him it's going
to
happen.
Correct. I mean, this is all the fulfillment of Eliyahu's, the prophecy to Eliyahu, appoint Elisha, appoint Hazael, and appoint Yehu to kill Beit Ahav, right? This is set in stone. But still, as we've seen, that just because it's set in stone and, you know, and it's going to happen, doesn't mean Nevi'im are thrilled to carry it out. It doesn't mean that Nevi'im can't give it over to somebody else, right? I mean, yes, it's inevitable.
It seems strange that God says something to Navi and then he just says, oh, you know what, I'll send my colleague instead.
Well, to be fair, he didn't send Elisha either. He sent Eliyahu, right? Elisha, as it is.
Twice transferred.
Yeah. You know, again, you can take the practical one of the Abarbanel, which is just like, look, that's the only way it was going to happen without it being a big fuss. But anyway, so he sends him, and he tells him, run away as soon as you've appointed him, because, you know, you don't want to be involved, right? The politics that are about to shake out after that, you've got to be out of this. So this young Navi goes, so he comes and he says, I have something to tell you, O general. And he says, who? I mean, you. I have something for you. So Vayakam Vayavoh HaBayta, Vayitok Shemen El Rosho, Vayomer Lo, Komar Adonai El Hei Yisrael, Mishachtich Ol HaMelech, Elam Adonai El Yisrael. And he pours it on his head. And he says, you are appointed as king on God's people. It is, but this is Yisrael, so they're not near the Beit HaMikdash, right? The Beit HaMikdash is in Yehuda. We haven't talked about Yehuda besides for that brief interlude last week for a few psukim for like 20 chapters. Right? We've noted this before, that Eliyahu and Elisha never, ever, ever talk about the Beit HaMikdash because they're in Yisrael. Right? Even after the big miracle of Eliyahu with the Nevi HaBaal, he doesn't bring them to the Beit HaMikdash. He just brings a carbon outside of the Beit HaMikdash. He's not in Yehuda. So he tells him that you are going to be king. V'ikita Beit HaChav Adonecha. V'nikamti d'mei avadayan v'yim d'mei kol avdei Adonai miyadi zevel. and I want you to strike down Ahav, your master, the house. Ahav is already dead, and take revenge against the revenge because of the Nevi'im that were killed, and all the other servants of God that were killed by Yezebel. And you'll destroy everyone based Achav, every male, right? We talked about this before when it first came up, that it's a very crude way of saying male, right? It means someone that can urinate against a wall, right, standing up. Now, as we'll see, the Nevuot, the way this Navi describes what's going on is in the same words, right? These are the identical words to Eliyahu in the original prophecy, and that's true throughout. Because Yehu, as we'll see, is actually aware. He was actually present for the original Nevuah of Eliyahu. And when he kills the house of Ahav, it's as in a fulfillment of the Nevuah to Eliyahu. This is just the reminder, so to speak. Right? This is the Navi coming and saying, remember what happened with Eliyahu? You're the one that's meant to do it. Do it now. So there's a lot of these direct quotations. What?
What's the time span here?
It's been, I believe, 12 years. I think it's 12 years. Something like that. It's been 12 years, I think, since Elisha took over for Eliyahu. So maybe it's a little bit more, but something like that, a little over a decade. And Rav Samad goes through, he proves, you know, conclusively, that all these are quotes from Eliyahu. It's clear that Yehu is aware that he is fulfilling the Nevuah of Eliyahu. And I'll make the house of Ahav like Yeravam, like Basha. And Yezebel will be eaten by the dogs, her blood will be eaten by the dogs, or she'll be eaten by the dogs, with no one to bury her. And then after he finishes his message, he runs away.
Who runs away?
The Navi, right? Because that was what Elisha told him. Give your message and get out of there. V'yehu yatsa alav de Adonav, v'yomer lo ha-shalom, madu ha-ba mishuga hazeh elecha, v'yomer aleihem, atem yidatem era'ish v'etzichau. So Yehu said, went out, and his servant said to him, what did this crazy person want from you? And he said, you know, he's crazy, whatever, he didn't want anything. Now from this pasuk, Rav Samet proves that what's about to happen, because in another pasuk they're going to believe him, and they're going to have a rebellion, is that you can't pin the immediate execution of this plan on Elisha, right? There was no way that he would know that it happened right away because, right, it's clear that at this stage, Yehu is not ready immediately to carry it out, even though in a moment he will. His first reaction is, okay, let's stall. But then he says, Vayomer sheker, haged na lanu. Vayomer kazot v'chazot amar elai lemor, kol mar lem shechtich al melech Yisrael. And he said, fine, I'll tell you. He said that I'm going to be the next king. He appointed me as king. Now at this point, you'll see they accept him very quickly. Vayomeru v'ichlish b'gdol v'yisimu tachtav el gerem ha-malot v'yitku ba-shofar v'yomer malach Yehu. So they take their garments, they put it underneath him on top of the steps, sound a shofar and say, Yehu is king. So, Rav Samet notes that it doesn't seem to be that they were convinced by the Nevuah per se, because a pasuk ago they said he was crazy, the Navi was crazy. It sounds like they don't like the king anyways, because to be fair, he was a very weak king. Right? Ahab was a very strong king, but his son was pathetic. Right? Every time we saw him, he was like, you know, crying, you know, asking permission from Elisha, whining to Elisha, threatening to kill Elisha because he couldn't find food, right? Ripping his clothing, right? Like, he never does anything assertive. He's not exactly a impressive monarch. So, as soon as... And he said, you know, in general, in Navi, people are always looking for Nevi'im, false or real, to support their political agenda. And, like, if you have a weak king and you want to get rid of him anyways, and then you hear a Navi, whether you believe him or not, if it fits your political agenda, great. So, you know, clearly they are, you know, they thought the Navi was crazy, but if he said a message that they're on board with, then they're on board. So they appoint Yehu. Vayit kasher Yehu ben Yishafat ben Imshiel Yoram, Yoram haya shomer beramot Gilad, v'chol Yisrael, v'nei chazal melech Aram. So Yehu rebels, and Yoram is in the middle, is hiding away from Chazael. Vayashav Yoram haMelech Litra pebi Israel mina makim asher yakuhu aramim yilachmo et chazael melech haram vayomer yehu yesh nafshechem yitzei palim meir lelechet lagid bi Israel. And Yehoram had been injured, and he was being healed. So Yehu tells him, look, I don't want anybody telling, right? No one's allowed to say what's going on, right? Don't let anybody out of the city, right? To spread the word to Israel that we rebelled. I'm going. I'm going to carry out this rebellion before they know the better. So he rides to Israel, because Yoram is there, and Achaziah Melch Yehuda is there as well. So he sees Yehu coming. He recognizes that it's Yehu, and he sends a messenger, and he says, you know, is everything okay? And he says, yeah, everything's okay. When the messenger gets to Yehu, he said, look, fall in line after me, and then everything will be okay. And so the watchman says, hey, the messenger reached them, but he didn't return, right? He fell in line with Yehu. Vayishlach rochev sus sheni vayavol lehem vayomer kamar amelech shalom vayomer yehu malachal leshalom sov elacharai. So they send a second messenger. Is everything okay? He says, yeah. What do you care? Fall in line with me, and it'll be okay, right? Why do you care whether I come in peace? Go behind me. Vayigedet sov elimor bad alehem lo shav vaminag minag yehu ben yimshi ki b'shigon yinhag. He says, so apparently originally they didn't know it was Yehu, right? And he says, look, this keeps happening, but it looks like this is Yehu because he was apparently a crazy driver, right? Crazy horse rider. And he says, as they get closer, look, each person is falling in line with him, and I can tell you that that's Yehu because he's just a crazy person on the horse, right? Only Yehu would ride like that. Vayomer Yoram Esor, Vayesor Rechbo, So Yoram said, you know what, I'm going to figure this out myself. And he goes out, harness my horse, and he goes out with Achaziah, the king of Yehuda, to meet up with Yehu. Vayhi kirot Yehoram et Yehu, vayomer ha-shalom Yehu, vayomer ma-shalom, aznunzei zevel imcha uchshafei harabim. So he said to him, is everything okay? He said, what okay? He said, your mother was terrible, right? Your mother, right, all the harlotries of your Izebel and her witchcraft, right? Said, no, not everything's okay. You're terrible. You come from terrible stock, right? You're a bad king. This is terrible. At which point, Yehoram realized that this is a rebellion and that he's fallen into the trap because he's not in the city, so he's not fortified. So he turns around and he runs. And he says to Achaziah, right, this is it's a trap, right? It's a trick. Vehu mileyadova keshe, vayachad Yoram ben Zerah, vayitzeh chaytzi milibo, vayachra berchbo. But Yehu was a very talented archer. So he draws his bow fully and he hits him between the shoulders and it goes from his back out through his heart, right? And he collapses on his chariot. Vayomer el bidkar shalisho sa hashlecheu bechelkat sedei nevod Yisraeli ki zechor ani v'ata et rochvim tzmadim acharei achav aviv v'adonai nasa alav et hamasa hazeh. Now this is where you see that Yehu is really fulfilling the prophecy of Eliyahu when he says, take his body and throw it into the field of Navot, right? That was the vineyard that his father had stolen, because I remember that we were there, right? We were riding together with his father Achav when Hashem had said the following thing through Eliyahu. Im lo edmei navot v'edmei vanav ra'iti emesh num Adonai v'shilamti l'cha b'chelka azot num Adonai v'ata sa'a shlichil b'chelkat gedvar Adonai. Hashem had promised through Eliyahu to Achav that because of what he did at Kerem Navot, that the blood would be taken to task here. So he says, take Yoram, who's the son of Achav, and throw his body into the field of Kerem, of Kerem Navot, to fulfill the prophecy of Eliyahu. V'chazyahu melech Yehuda ra'a v'yanos derech beit hagan v'yido v'acharav Yehu v'yomer gam oto haku el merkava v'malei gura asher ediv la'am v'yanos migido v'yamat sham. So Ahaziah starts running away, but Yehu says, kill him too. And they wound him and he dies. And the reason he has to be killed, even though he's from Yehuda, is because we saw in last week's Perek, and this seems to be why he was there, is that he was, Ahaziah was also from Ahav, because he was his grandson from his mother, right? Because the this was the generation when the two kingdoms had married into each other. So both kings from Yehuda and Yisrael are descendants of Ahav, so both have to die. But because he is the Melech David, right, in Yehuda, his servants take him and they bury him in Ir David. And it was in the 11th year of Yoram that Ahaziah was king in Yehuda. Now Izebel heard what's going on, and she puts makeup on and adorns her head. Now according to Rashi Radak, she wanted to try to seduce him, according to Ralbag, it's not to seduce him. She just wants to die in the most defiant way possible. Right, she doesn't want to look like she's begging for her life. She's happy to die, but she's gonna do it with chutzpah. So she looks out the window. V'yehu ba bashar v'tomer hashalom zimri horeg adonav, and she says, "Is all well, O murderer of his master?" Right, Zimri, murderer of the master, referencing Zimri, who had killed Melech Allah in a previous rebellion. He says, "Everything okay, O rebel who kills his master?" V'yisafanav al chalom v'yomer mi iti mi v'yashkifu elav shneim shloshasar isim. And he looks towards the window and he says, who is with me? Meaning, who's willing to rebel and be part of this rebellion against Izebel? And two or three people look at him. Vayomer, shimtua, v'yishtemua, v'yizmi damal, akir, v'alsusim, v'yimusenel. So he said, if you're with me, push her out the window. So they shove her out the window, and her blood falls on the wall and to the horses, and Yehu tramples her body with his horses. No, not at all. Vayavo vayochal vayesht vayomer pikdunat ha'ara zod v'kvura kivat melechi. I mean, her blood flows, right? They came and they drank her blood, right? Oh, sorry. He ate and drank, not her blood, right? That's going to be the dog, so we're going to eat her blood. He ate and drank, which seems to be, as Rav Salman puts it, right? If you're willing to eat and drink after this brutal murder, it's to show that it doesn't bother you, right? Like, you are totally okay with the murder you just carried out. You totally, right, this is not traumatic for you. You are totally identify with God's message. He was happy. Izebel needed to die. But he said, but do bury her. Because in the end of the day, she's still the queen. So they went to find her body, but they could only find the skull and the hands and the legs. Or the hands and feet, really. So again, you see that he's fulfilling Eliyahu's thing. He said, the reason you can't find her body is because Eliyahu predicted this, that not only would she die, that her body would be eaten by dogs. So it will be like fertilizer spread on the earth, and no one will be able to look at her and say, that's Izebel, right? That's how much her body is going to be destroyed. And you see how much that really, Yehu, it's not just a rebellion, at least at this point in the story, it is really he's carrying this out as a fulfillment of the Nevuah of Eliyahu. Which makes sense, considering this really is the last thing that Eliyahu was supposed to do, was appoint Yehu, which he ends up doing through Elisha, through a messenger, to carry out the justice against Beit Ahav.
It's interesting, he says here, Kedomen, her name Izebel, is a remez to what happened to her at the end, that she was Zebel
That's a good pun. But yeah, it's clearly a pun on it.
How times have changed, like you kill each other left and right.
Oh yeah, meaning this was... The world of Malachim is not exactly pleasant as things go.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's very.
Okay.
Good.
Anyways. Okay, so Shkoyach. Next week. Okay.
Thank you. Have a great week. Regards to everybody.
You too. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.